Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 13th, 2007, a very snowy Tuesday. Todd Gleason coming to you today from my home on and off in Mahomet, Illinois, with the kids today. Taking a look at what's happening to the Chicago Board of Trade in just a bit, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along with all of the agricultural news for the day. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated just after the bottom of the hour. And I'll tell you about my trip over to Springfield on Saturday morning to watch Barack Obama enter the presidential race. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you from home in Mahomet, Illinois. Today, our thanks to Dave Dickey, who did make his way into the radio station this morning, been there all day, manning, I suspect, a large part of what's happening on the air. Thanks to Dave and all the crew that's there at the radio station and making things happen for the afternoon. Taking a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Tuesday afternoon. Settlements came across at the end of the day like this. Nearby March contract and the wheat bid of 487.5 settlement price, they were up 5.75 on the day. The May at 494.5 were up 3. And from the corn pit, the March contract, the settlement price at $4. This is from the wheat. March 4.59. This is the soft red winter wheat, up 3.25 for the day. The May there at 4.74.25, up 4.75, and the July at 4.82.5. They were up 3.75 from the corn pit. Now March contract $4.11. They're up 7.25 on the afternoon. The May futures at 4.23.25, up 7.25, and July contract at 4.30.5, up 7.25. Corn pit December contract 4.03. New contract time. They're up 4.5 cents, a 403 settlement price for the December corn futures today. Soy complex now nearby March, soybeans, 755, 9.75 higher for the day. May futures at 771.5, they're up 9.75. And the July futures at 783.75 were up 9.25. The November contract at 807, up 9.25 for the afternoon. Bean meal futures March contract 222.70, they're up 380 for the day. And the bean oil at 30 even, up 11 cents. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle, $100.72.5 in the nearby March. The settlement price up 122.5 for the day. The February live cattle at 94.40, they're up 70. And the April futures at 96.35, up $1.07 for the day. Lean hogs, February contract 67.17.5, up 12.5 cents. Of course, I'm snowed in here in Mahomet, or at least I'm trying to be snowed in with the kids for the day. And, in fact, I know that Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, is trying to be snowed in there at his home.
Yes,
outside
he is, Wayne.
Of Newmarket. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing fine, Todd. We were in the market until about 1 o'clock, and then we followed the snowplow so we could get home to see here. So, you know, we're just hoping by lets up by mornings so we can get back and work and be there. Okay, but we're
speaking of all that snow, you two guys, just a second. I got this in from Tom Rogers. Dave Dickey here tells me that Champaign County sheriffs and highway departments have officially closed all roads in the county. They say blowing and drifting snow has made most roads in Champaign County impassable. Plowing crews gave up around noon today as rural roads were drifting shut soon after they were plowed. Sheriff Dan Walsh is strongly discouraging anyone from traveling today, especially since winds may increase over the afternoon hours. So I'm glad both of you guys are at home.
Well, we're home, and we're hoping that you make it home. You know who's not home, Dave, and on the road, and I talked to him about 11 o'clock this morning. We recorded weather early, so it kind of sounds when we get to the bottom of the hour here when we talk with Drew Lerner that we're live with him, but that's not the case. He was on the road at that point from Decatur to Peru in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
He's from Kansas City. Our best wishes to Drew. Hopefully he's made it a good portion of the way or found a place to pull off the road and make a stop. One other note for those in the listening area, just got an email from the Mahomet School District, and that one is canceled for tomorrow. No school in Mahomet. So that one's the latest from what's been happening here in this county. And back over in Indiana, things aren't much better, are they, Wayne Nelson?
No, they. We weren't supposed to be on the roads this morning either. They closed the roads in our county. All the schools are closed over here, and we have all sorts of advisory warnings in the same respect. We did want to get in this morning. We did want to be able to stick in orders and stuff, and we did make it into the office and did some trading. Some tremendous new high prices, Todd. That crude oil just seemed to bounce back, and along with it come the corn and the beans. And not very heavy trade today, but there sure wasn't any selling anticipated. I think the report tomorrow where the government's going to outline some of the future demand has got people a little bulled up a little bit. What do you think?
I think that probably is the case. That report, of course, not an official USDA report in terms of a report released from the United States Department of Agriculture, but it is their yearly outlook form that they host in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure that we'll hear more about that in the news with Dave Dickey throughout the week as those are posted and Dave digs up what's being said by the folks at USDA. So let's talk about these new highs just a bit. The December corn futures went through their old high, now 403. They settled at a brand new high. Does it make a difference to you, you think, very much that this is a light volume day? The trade has been pretty light simply because of the weather across the Midwest, and I suppose traders, frankly, didn't make it all the way into the Board of Trade in Chicago either. Does that make much of a difference, or is this just the next step up?
Well, I think a little bit of each. It isn't quite as enthusiastic on light volume, but it did go there. It has happened, and there wasn't people. And with all the electronic age we have today, Todd, you know, everybody has a computer at home that they can get into or can be involved with the market trading if they really wanted to be. And I'm sure our major fund traders had somebody in charge there or at least in contact on phone. So the major funds did not want to stop this from happening, and it looks like it's just one of the many steps. You know, we are always just a little bit leery when we keep making these new levels as to which one's going to hold and when the other foot might drop. But, you know, as we've said all along, we wanted to be lightly sold as we went up here. Remember on Saturday's show, we did go to 10% sold.
That's correct.
On stuff, but we didn't want to go much past that just because of things like this. But we do want to, you know, be cautious and be starting to protect stuff here pretty soon.
It's kind of interesting as you watch this, and we've asked this question, I think, last week, and maybe we ought to ask it again. As you take a look at crop insurance options and how you're watching crop insurance for cues as to whether acreage should shift from corn to soybeans, we're almost halfway through. It's a short week, short month, so we are halfway through, I suppose.
We're halfway through getting ready to put things together there yet, and we're anxiously awaiting to know what volatility factors the U.S. government uses on figuring these and how much cost per acre and how much resistance we might see by some of the farmers that way. But we're going to be able to lock in some fantastic guarantees for any of these good producers that got some good records this year. We know that the crop insurance levels are going to be high, but so are calls and puts, and they don't insure against weather. So, you know, we're going to have some really big decisions to make from March 1st to March 15th as far as which option, which marketing plans we want to use.
Are farmers using this to decide which acreage they will put where very much?
I don't think we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of people shying away in the Indiana area. We're seeing a lot of people shying away from switching many acres once we got to $8 on the board beans. Todd, they're saying, you know, they don't want to get caught with lines at elevators, jammed up with corn, not enough drying facilities if it is a wet fall, things like that. And also, we are a lot more no-till over here, and they don't like to switch as easy. But I think this could be drawing some bean acres out of cotton acres and out of rice down in the Mid-South.
Of course, Indiana, there's a portion of East Central Illinois, a good large portion of Indiana, and Ohio in particular, which really prefer soybeans to corn for their agronomic reasons, I think. You can see see that if you take a look at some of the USDA statistics and take a look at counties where they do plant soybeans and how many they plant. But if you get to the west or to the west of the Illinois line and start into Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, it's much heavier for corn.
Much heavier corn.
Are they likely to switch?
Well, you know, the one thing we've talked in our surveys and phone surveys and talking to people is you have to remember they've already switched or are a higher percentage corn to begin with, so it's going to be hard for them to switch the acres you'd think they might. There will be some switching there. There's going to be some corn acres definitely added in some of these areas because it is advantageous dollar-wise if you're in good corn ground and you feel you have the equipment and the time to do it, Todd. So, you know, there's been some switching. We aren't going to pick up this 7 to 9 million acres more if somebody doesn't switch.
Hey, you know what? Start the fireplace, snuggle up for the evening, stay warm, and stay inside, okay?
All right. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner. He's making his way across the state of Illinois, now headed for Peru. We wish him the best of luck on that journey. We'll catch up with him a bit later in the program today. Our own Ed Kieser forecast for the two-state region looks like this. A blizzard warning, of course, is in effect for much of central and east-central Illinois and northern portions of central Indiana. That until midnight tonight. And for much of northern Indiana until 7 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. A winter storm warning also in effect for much of the rest of northern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana until midnight. The far northern parts of Indiana until 7 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And for the southern half of central Indiana until midnight Eastern time, a snow and blowing snow advisory in effect for the extreme northern parts of Illinois, that until midnight tonight. And finally, a winter weather advisory is in effect for portions of southern Illinois until 6 o'clock this evening, and for portions of southern Indiana until midnight Eastern time. Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in northern and central Illinois, windy with snow tapering to flurries in the north and central sections of Indiana, windy with snow. In the south, a mix of light freezing rain, sleet and snow. Lows this evening will range from near zero in far northwestern Illinois to 20 in the far south. And tomorrow in eastern Illinois and western Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers, most numerous near Lake Michigan. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with a few flurries. Windy and cold. Highs tomorrow will range from 8 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Dave Dickey is here now with all of today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the White House Office of Management and Budget's annual audit of USDA shows 13 programs deemed not performing to standards. The designation is given to programs judged to be ineffective, containing unclear goals, or due to poor management. Among the programs receiving the not performing standard, the Dairy Price Support Program, the Packers and Stockyards Program, and the Conservation Security Program. The OMB issued a series of recommendations that would require USDA to do a better job of setting measurable goals and improve management oversight. The U.S. and South Korea are meeting again this week to hammer out details of a bilateral free trade deal. The two sides must still come to agreement of trade in automobiles, pharmaceuticals, and agricultural products. Korean farmers want stiff tariffs on U.S. rice and beef. The U.S. wants trade in those two commodities liberalized, where tariffs are eliminated immediately or over a phase-in period. The American Soybean Association unveiled its Farm Bill 2007 recommendations yesterday, and unlike the National Corn Growers Association, ASA does not have a revenue-based safety net plan. Instead, ASA wants to tie more payments to higher market loan rates and a higher average target price for the commodity. Doing so would increase potential for countercyclical payments. ASA President Rick Oslai.
Target prices should be adjusted to a minimum of 130% of the 2000 to 2004 Olympic average market prices. And marketing loan rates should be set at a minimum of 95% of Olympic average market prices during that same period. For soybeans, these percentages would establish a $6.85 per bushel target price, up from the present $5.80, and a $5.01 per bushel loan rate, up from a $5 per bushel loan rate in the present bill. Direct payments would remain at current levels of 44 cents for soybeans. Just to put that in perspective, you know, with our proposal, farmers will make their planting decisions based on the market and not the farm program payments. In the past, when markets were low, farm program payments were better for some crops than others, and that actually shifted acres. And we don't want to see the farm program determine what farmers seed. We feel that the market should determine planting and decisions that farmers make and not the farm program.
ASA says it would consider support of a revenue-based safety net only if its proposal is not given serious consideration. Argentina's president has signed an executive order that implements a national biofuel promotion law. The law is designed to stimulate biofuel production through a minimum fuel content requirement and tax breaks. The U.S. purchased 113 million liters of ethanol directly from Brazil in January, roughly 60% of all of Brazilian ethanol exports. The U.S. also purchased 88.5 million liters of ethanol in January from the Caribbean, which is not subject to a 54-cent per gallon tariff. And USDA's chief economist Keith Collins tomorrow will release the agency's 10-year agricultural projections. The numbers will cover crop and livestock commodities, as well as trade indicators like farm income and food prices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find our daily ag programming as MP3 files. You can subscribe to our newsletter or to the podcast. It's all at willag.org. Well, up next, Illinois Senator Barack Obama, of course, entered the race for the presidency last Saturday. It was a very frigid morning in Springfield. I'll tell you more about the announcement in the shadow of the old state capitol building in Illinois and Abraham Lincoln's legacy. Well, the masses shivered and they cheered for Barack Obama in Springfield Saturday morning. They braved below freezing temperatures to hear the one-term Democrat from Illinois announce his intention to run for president of the United States. Obama told them he had come to Springfield because it was where he had been reminded of the essential decency of the American people.
It was here in Springfield where I saw all that is America converge. Farmers and teachers, businessmen and laborers, all of them with a story to tell, all of them seeking a seat at the table, all of them clamoring to be heard. I made lasting friendships here, friends that I see in the audience here today. It was here where we learned to disagree without being disagreeable, that it's possible to compromise so long as you know those principles that can never be compromised, and that so long as we're willing to listen to each other, we can assume the best in people instead of the worst.
The senator reminded the people that Abraham Lincoln had served in Springfield and then gone on to the White House. And then he told them he planned to do the same.
And that is why, in the shadow of the old state capitol, where Lincoln once called on a house divided to stand together, where common hopes and common dreams still live, I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for president of the United States of America.
Obama said he hopes to set higher standards for schools and make college more affordable, to invest in scientific research, and to lay down broadband internet connectivity. across urban and rural America. He also announced that he has a plan to bring the combat troops home from Iraq by March of next year and to make ethanol and other renewable fuels a priority for the nation. On the health front, Barack Obama expects to implement universal health care by the end of the next president's first term in office. He told the gathered crowd, cold as they were, that hard choices would have to be made, and that although government would play a crucial role in bringing about the changes he expects to make, Americans would ultimately be responsible for the transformations he envisions.
Each of us, in our own lives, will have to accept responsibility for instilling an ethic of achievement in our children, for adapting to a more competitive economy, for strengthening our communities and sharing some measure of sacrifice. So let us begin. Let us begin this hard work together. Let us transform this nation.
Barack Obama closed by asking the crowd to join him in his improbable quest to usher in what he called a new birth of freedom on this earth.
And if you will join with me in this improbable quest, if you feel destiny calling and see as I see the future of endless possibilities stretching out before us, if you sense as I sense that the time is now to shake off our slumber and slough off our fears and make good on the debt we owe past and future generations, then I am ready to take up the cause and march with you and work with you. Today, together, we can finish the work that needs to be done and usher in a new birth of freedom on this earth. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's get to work. I love you. Thank you.
Obama departed Springfield immediately for Iowa, where he has spent the last few days campaigning. Quick reminder now at the bottom of this hour about our website and how you might go about using it. The address is www.willag.org. That's willag.org. On that site, you'll find many things, including the latest USDA reports as they're released. Dave Dickey tries to post those by about 7:30 a.m. There's also a button where you can hit subscribe and subscribe to our weekend newsletter. If you do that, you'll not only get the weekend newsletter, but quite likely you'll see on USDA report days a newsletter from us detailing all the numbers from those reports. They come out around 7:30 a.m. on most mornings. The next big report, of course, will be the Planting Intentions Report, which is due out at the end of the month. Other things you'll find on the website, a whole series of MP3 files. Those include the pre-opening and opening market report and a different set of closing market report numbers, which include the ag futures by themselves, the weather segment, the news, the whole program, if you'd like, along with Commodity Week. Those are all along the left-hand side of the webpage. Along the right-hand side of the page, you'll find Sue Martin's midday forecast. That comes out about 12:55 a.m. on the radio station. It's all right there on willag.org. It's a very busy website, a lot of information that changes every business day of the week. If you haven't visited, we hope you do. It's at willag.org. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Champaign County sheriffs and highway departments have officially closed all county highways. They say blowing and drifting snow has made most roads in Champaign County impassable. Plowing crews gave up around noon today as rural roads were drifting shut soon after they were plowed. Sheriff Dan Walsh is strongly discouraging anybody from traveling today, especially since winds may increase over the afternoon hours. In Vermilion County, all roads in unincorporated areas were closed around midday. City of Champaign officials say travel is not much better in the cities. The City Emergency Management Department says police are responding only to accidents that involve injury or where a vehicle can't be moved. They say if you have to be out on the roads and get into a crash, you should exchange information with the other motorists. Champaign and Urbana street crews are still on the roads plowing. They say they'll be running 24 hours a day until the streets are cleared. The condition of a University of Illinois basketball player injured in a car crash has been upgraded from critical to serious. 19-year-old Brian Carlwell suffered a severe concussion while he was in a car driven by teammate Jamar Smith last night. U of I Police Sergeant Vanessa Horseman says the car Smith was driving crossed the center line and hit a tree. Illinois Sports Information Director Kent Brown says police cited Smith for improper lane usage. Campus police say further action is possible pending the outcome of their investigation. Smith was treated and released after the crash. He's a sophomore from Peoria. Carlwell is a freshman center from Maywood. Here are some of the updated school closings we have for tomorrow. These are for Wednesday tomorrow. Champaign Unit 4, Urbana District 116, Muhammad Seymour, Holy Cross School in Champaign, St. John's Lutheran School in Champaign, the Pavilion School, St. Matthew School in Champaign, and Champaign's Countryside School. Some other events that are canceled for this evening. Most of those schools do not have any evening activities scheduled for tonight. Countryside School's Middle School Information Night has been rescheduled for Thursday at 7. Urbana Adult Education is canceled. Champaign Unit 4 Special School Board meeting is canceled. Snow routes are in effect in Champaign and Rantoul. Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit bus service will end tonight at 7 o'clock, and they expect regular service to resume tomorrow. There will be no late-night or an evening bus service. You can check cumtd.com for more information. Carl Clinic facilities are closed for today and tomorrow, and the Champaign County Courthouse remains closed, as well as many other government and business facilities. You can check a complete list of closings on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is making his way across the state of Illinois in blizzard conditions today. Drew, I hope you're pulled over to the side of the road and you're safe yet on your way to Peru. What you doing there tonight?
Oh, boy, it's a fun day out here on the road. It really isn't all that bad most of the time, but, boy, when that wind starts blowing across the roads, it can be pretty treacherous. So I certainly encourage anybody who doesn't have to be out today to stay home. But some of the interstates are okay, but certainly those county roads are bad, bad, bad news. And I just heard not too long ago that some of the county roads aren't going to be maintained until the storm passes now, so it could be pretty interesting. But it's going to be pretty stormy for yet another 12 hours or so, and then we'll start seeing some improvement. We'll see the winds whip up pretty badly, though, this afternoon, and that's going to cause considerable blowing and drifting, and I think that's going to make it seem a lot worse. It's going to be hard to even measure the snow because it will be falling horizontally. But we are expecting to see cold air come in behind it and a lot quieter winds coming in for tomorrow and Thursday. It'll probably take us a little while to just get those winds to stop. But anyway, this will be the last of the big storm producers for a while. I think there may be another system that may show up in the plains sometime around the 23rd or the 24th, and that may eventually bring us some more storminess into the Midwest. But at least through next week, we should be looking at better conditions.
Better conditions, but cold temperatures?
Well, the cold will go away, too, at least for a little while. Certainly tomorrow morning and Thursday morning will be our coldest weather we've seen, I think, with this particular bout of cold that we've got. And we'll start moderating the temperatures a little bit this weekend. But, you know, with all the snow on the ground, it's going to be really hard for us to get a significant warm-up initiated. But once it comes, I think it'll be a fairly quickie. We'll probably also see some moisture come up from the Gulf of Mexico, and that's likely to, you know, like I said, generate some more storminess for us. So we're not out of the woods completely, but certainly this storm system will become history in another 12 to 24 hours.
You know, speaking of the Gulf of Mexico, we probably ought to head a little bit south of that and talk about the warmer climes and what's been happening in Argentina and South America, please.
Yeah, you know, it looks like Argentina is doing pretty darn good. I know the news commentary in recent weeks has really tried hard to create a problem for Argentina, but there isn't any, with the exception of parts of Buenos Aires and La Pampa. Now, these are important sunseed-producing areas, but not necessarily soybeans, and they do produce some corn in these areas. And the losses in yield potential in some of these areas might be fair, but I think there's going to be some decent yields from other parts of the country that will certainly counter it, so it'll still be a good production year for the nation. In Brazil, we've had so much rain this year, it's created a lot of problems just getting out there and maintaining fields. But I think the majority of the southern portions of the country have done very well with timely rains and high yields expected, and some of those yields will likely counter the lower-yielding crops from the north, which is going to be lower-yielding just simply because of all the wet weather and cloudy skies and some coolness that has occurred fairly often here this last few weeks. certainly the percentage of the crop that's had trouble is not all that huge, and I think Brazil will still come out with a pretty decent crop, but it hasn't been ideal conditions, and those are not likely to come back again for a while. I imagine it'll be a little while before we see enough drying to occur to start supporting maturation and harvest.
Well, Drew, you be safe on your trip across Illinois up to the La Salle, Peru area on Interstate 80 and 39 up there. And if you get in trouble, just give me a call back. I've got family in that area, and maybe we can help you get out of trouble. But be safe on the road, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot. You guys all be safe, too.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. You be safe as well out there in these blizzard conditions for this day. Take care of the livestock and those pets, and most importantly, of yourself and your family. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good and a very safe afternoon.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.